Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. These are now the chief of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. Of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom. Of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel. Of the sons of David, Hattush. Of the sons of Shechaniah. Of the sons of Parosh, Zechariah. And with him were reckoned by genealogy of the males 150. Of the sons of Pahath Moab, Elioenai, the son of Zerahiah, and with him 200 males. Of the sons of Shechaniah, the son of Jahaziel, and with him 300 males. Of the sons also of Adin, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and with him 50 males. And of the sons of Elam, Jeshiah, the son of Athaliah, and with him 70 males. And of the sons of Shephatiah, Zebediah, the son of Michael, and with him 80 males. Of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jehiel, and with him 218 males. And of the sons of Shelomit, the son of Josephiah, and with him 103 males. And of the sons of Bebai, Zechariah, the son of Bebai, and with him 28 males. And of the sons of Azgad, Johanan, the son of Hakatan, and with him 110 males. And of the last sons of Adonikam, whose names are these, Eliphelet, Jehiel, and Shemaiah, and with them 80 males. Of the sons also of Bigvai, Uttai, and Zabud, and with them 70 males. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days, and I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi. Then I sent for Eliezer, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, for Elnathan, and for Jarib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshullam, chief men, also for Joiarib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Edo the chief at the place Casipha, and I told them what they should say unto Edo and his brethren, the Nethinims, at the place Casipha or Casiphia, and they should that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding of the sons of Matli, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah, with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him, Jeshiah, of the sons of Merari, his brethren, and their sons, 20. Also of the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, and of them were expressed, and all of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed unto their hand 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents. Also 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers. Watch ye therefore and keep them until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites and chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So took the priests and the Levites the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way. And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now, on the 4th day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest, and with him was Eleazar the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah the son of Binui, Levites, by number and by weight of every one, and all the weight was written at that time. Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord. And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So, the accounting of the people that came with Ezra. So this chapter here is a greater detailed look at what we read in the last chapter. In chapter 7, we heard that they traveled for 4 months and so on. Okay, so now we're going to drill down for a little bit more, as we say today, granularity in that, for a little bit more detail to see what happened, who went, and so on. So we have the reckoning of the genealogies by the males, which is common in Scripture because they are the heads of households. The amount of folks that are numbered here is about 1,800, as I added it all up when I was studying this passage, somewhere around 1,800. And so that would be the males. And so we would imagine that there were quite a few more than that that traveled with them. So we have a caravan then of, let's say in rough numbers, 7,500 people or so. 5,000, 7,500, could be as high as 10,000, but we don't really know because only the males have been numbered. But this is a caravan of quite a bit, right? It's a very large group of people. Not only is it a large group of people, but they have a long, long way to go. How far do they go? Well, from the river Ahava, which no one really knows where that is, but it is assumed to be one of the canals in the city of Babylon. From there to Jerusalem is 900 miles. So if you're traveling 6 days a week, by the way, they would have not traveled on the Sabbath day. If you're traveling 6 days a week, that would have been an average of say, 10 miles a day, approximately, depending on exactly where in Babylon Ahava was, and depending on, you know, because it says that they remained for a few days there for their fast and to muster themselves. They waited for the Levites to come, right? So it wasn't exactly 4 full months. It was about 3.5 months of travel. So somewhere around 10 miles a day in their caravan, resting one day in 7. Think of all of the logistics that they would need for that. Just to keep people fed and clothed and, you know, with water. There are a couple of valleys along the way that they would have used to pick up water and to take with them for those drier patches in between the valleys and so on. But it was quite a trek, quite a journey. Where are you going with all this, Pastor Todd? You know where I'm going with it. How much of it is a trek to get to church on Sundays? How much of that is a trek? Notice what they did. They prepared. When they mustered all of the people there at Ahava, and they found that there were no priests there, no ministers, none to teach them the good way of God and to minister at the temple, what did they do? They said, we need ministers. And so they sent to this place called Kasifia, where there were some Levites, and they called those Levites and they said, we have no minister to travel with us. Now, it may have been that they only needed them for the travel, right? Because the temple had already been built and it was already in being used. And so they could have said, oh, well, you know what? During these 3.5 months of travel, we just won't need to do religious services. We'll just be content with our private prayers. No, not at all. They said, we need Levites. In fact, they had quite a few Levites because there were many people to be ministered to. And we note the willingness of those Levites to leave Babylon and to travel with the people for those 3.5 months, which could not have been but a somewhat arduous trek. It was during the time of spring, right? The first month, that's end of March into April, depending on when in the lunar calendar it matches up with our calendar that we use. But it was sometime in the spring, and so they traveled from the spring into the middle of summer, or perhaps until the end of spring and the beginning of summer. And so they would have had rain to deal with. They would have had other hardships to deal with on the road. But they were going home to worship their God. And so nothing stood in their way. Well, this speaks to us, doesn't it, about the little things that keep us off of private devotion, the little things that keep us off of public devotion, the little things that stand in the way. They're a good example to us, and we wanted to bring up that example. 900 miles, a caravan of thousands of people, and they made all of the preparation, and they made sure that they were prepared, not just with regard to their bodies, but with regard to their souls as well. The second thing I want you to notice here is the accounting of it all. Notice that these vessels, this gold, this silver, this copper, it was weighed out to the priests before they left, and it was weighed out again after they arrived to make sure that nothing that belongs to the Lord is lost. Nothing of his vessels, nothing of his jewels, nothing. And beloved, does this not remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ told us, of all that the Father hath given me, it is his will that I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Those vessels, and notice what he said to them. He said, you Levites, you're holy, and these vessels are holy as well. And you see that there are things and there are people that are dedicated in that way. Let's talk about holiness, and this is where we will close up the reading here. Let's talk about this holiness. Well, I'm not a priest, so I'm not holy. No, beloved, let us remember that there are different kinds of holiness in the house of God. Let's just remind ourselves of that for a moment. There is, first of all, the holiness of the priests. They do things that others don't get to do. There's another holiness, the holiness of the Levites. They do things, they're dedicated to things that others don't do. But we will remember also, won't we, that there is the holiness of a parent for the sake of what? The holiness of their children. Right? In other words, there are different kinds of holiness. I don't even want to call it different levels of holiness, as if one is above another. No, when we come into the house of the Lord, beloved, when we take those vows, when we become stones in that wall, when we become members of Christ, we all have a particular holiness that pertains to our calling and place in this family, in this building, in this body. And we must remember that. We must not think, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. We've recently heard that from 1 Corinthians 12. And what is the apostles' answer to that? No. Each of you has a place. Each of you is dedicated to a particular place. After this book, we move on to Nehemiah. What happens that is so special to remember in Nehemiah? That every particular family has their own place on the wall to build it. Beloved, each of you are holy, having a place of your own in the body of Christ to beautify, to maintain, and to advance. And so while we cannot all be ministers and priests and Levites and so on, Nethinims, we can recognize that there are different descriptions of holiness in the body, and we can take our place as holy, right? And finally, we learn who the Nethinims are. We read that shadowy description, Nethinims. Who are they? Well, here it tells us in this chapter. David appointed them to be servants to the Levites. And it is my personal opinion, I will always tell you when it's my personal opinion, it is my personal opinion that they were both men and women. Men and women that performed non-priestly service to help the Levites with their job in and around the temple of the Lord. And I believe that Anna was one of those ladies. And I also believe that there were other ladies in the days of Hophni and Phinehas that they abused, and yet they should have appreciated rather their service rather than abusing them. They were women that assembled with the Levites to be of service to them. Well, there were men that did that as well. Nethinims, right? The I-M ending is a male ending for the Hebrew language. Yet we know that when it is a mixed company, it's always described by the males. So, who are the Nethinims then? David, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, appointed them to help the Levites with their service in the temple. That's who they were. All right, with that then,